In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Our guy, Nate Taylor, is going to join us here coming up in just a bit. Really excited to get his thoughts on all things Chiefs. He was in attendance yesterday for the week one matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Before he joins us, I want to point out one thing that seems very obvious. It seems very simplistic, but very important to this conversation. The Chiefs are just better than the Ravens. Now, some of you might be like, thanks, Captain Obvious. Well, no, let me explain. In the Ravens' last 20 games, they are 15-3 against the rest of the NFL. And they have some big wins. Remember last year on Christmas Day, they went on the road to play the San Francisco 49ers and took care of them. They were in a pretty difficult division last year. 15-3 against the rest of the NFL. They are 0-2. 15-5 in their last 20 games, and two of those losses are against the Chiefs. In those games, they have been trailing four times at halftime out of the 20. Both times are against the Kansas City Chiefs. Or I guess two of the times are against the Kansas City Chiefs. Two times in the other 18 games that they've played. The Ravens are really good. Lamar Jackson is really good. That defense is really good. The Chiefs are just better. And sometimes that's sports. You know we love an NBA analogy on this show. The New York Knicks in the 90s were really good. The Indiana Pacers were really good. You know what? The other team had Michael Jordan, the Bulls. They were just better than you were. I'm sure there were some really fast track athletes in the 2000s. You know what? You were born the same time as Usain Bolt. You're not winning the 100 or 200 meter. You need to go pick another activity. Baltimore, you are a good team. If the Chiefs didn't exist in this world, you're better than the Bills. You're better than Cincinnati. You're better than Houston. You're better than all of these teams. The team you need to be better than, though, they beat you. They beat you, and you also beat yourself. You don't commit to the run in the AFC Championship game. You commit very silly penalties yesterday with multiple unnecessary roughness penalties that extend drives for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have certainly been better than the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have certainly contributed to their own demise in these games against the Kansas City Chiefs. You have nobody to blame but yourself. They're just better than you are. So you got to continue to get in the lab, continue to work, continue to grind, and continue to put yourself in a position where in the fourth quarter of these games, you have an opportunity. The Ravens had an opportunity to win the game. They didn't give themselves enough time. They also mismanaged their timeouts at the end of the game. They called two timeouts in the second half on defense. You can't do that. You needed those timeouts at the end of the game to try to go down and score a touchdown and potentially go for two. They were going to go for two. Before we knew that Likely was out of bounds, they cut to Harbaugh, and Harbaugh is clearly motioning that we are going for two. Now, I think they're running it with Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs really hadn't stopped it all night. I'm going to trust my best player to get in the end zone. I think they were going to run it with Lamar. We don't need to guess what would have happened. The guy stepped out of bounds. They ended up losing that game. But I don't want to lose sight that the Chiefs beat a really good football team. And in the Chiefs' last two games, I guess three games, the Chiefs have beat the other two best contenders in the NFL. The Ravens still maintain that they're the best contender, and the San Francisco 49ers. In their last three games, they have gone head-to-head up against the other two best teams in the NFL, and they have won both of those games, Rob. That's the real story of this game. We'll get to the offense. We'll get to the sizzle. We'll talk about that with Nate Taylor as he's sitting down right now. But the real story from the game, Rob, is just very simple. Man, the Chiefs are just better than the Ravens.
You know how we talked about in the past with, you know, Mitchell Schwartz said this. It took a lot for them to overcome the Patriots, that first Chiefs team. There were times when you felt like the Colts could never overcome the Patriots. It felt like, you know, the Bills have not been able to overcome the Chiefs. Man, add another team to it, because it seems like every time the Ravens play the Chiefs, they just seem outmatched. There's one exception, but every other time, the Chiefs have just, whether they bring their best, their B game, their C game, they just are better than the Ravens. And I don't know if it's mental at this point. I don't know if it's schematic. I don't know what it is. But when the Ravens play the Chiefs just always seem to get the better of the Ravens. You know, styles make fights, and that's just one of those fights the Ravens never seem to win.
Right now, we're happy to be joined right now by Nate Taylor of The Athletic joining us in the studio. We were just talking about this, that sometimes we spend a lot of different ways to come to like a very simple conclusion. And I get it. That's kind of the job, right? Like, you just can't sit down at your computer and write, well, the Chiefs beat a good team again. They're better than they are. But like, we've seen these two teams go up against each other in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
Whether they've had Odell Beckham, whether they've had Zay Flowers, whether they had Gus Edwards. Like, we've seen very different versions of the Ravens over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. The Chiefs are 5-1 against them. There are some teams that match up, mm-hmm. I guess, great against Kansas City. Cincinnati is a team that has proven over the last 4 years they match up really well with Kansas City. Baltimore hasn't consistently proven that they can do that And also, they haven't proven they can get over the hump. They had opportunities to win that game yesterday. They had a drive at the end where you score, you go for two, you can win. But you got to put yourself consistently in that situation and execute. And I just don't think they execute well enough to beat Kansas City.
Certainly the last two games, for sure. You know, there was about, and this is even before you get to the final drive, which kind of tells your point, Carrington, the idea that you know, their kicker, Justin Tucker, misses a clearly makeable kick. Okay, hey, we got a stop on the Chiefs' second offensive drive of the game. Cool. I think schematically it was supposed to be a double team. both guys get beat by Chris Jones. We can't even set up to throw the ball deep because now it's a strip sack fumble, and now it kind of prevents us from even opening up our playbook because we can't block the guy even if we assign two people to Chris Jones. You know, there were a number of penalties, whether it's the illegal formation stuff or the horse collar, the, you know, roughing the passer, that just extended Chiefs drives when they were already moving the ball efficiently on you already.
And really quick, to kind of throw this in the middle of it to go along with what you're saying, is we mentioned this earlier today. There's a penalty that people aren't talking a whole lot about today. The Chiefs have the ball. They are up 10, trying to put the game on ice.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes runs for 19 yards. They get a holding penalty. It could either be 3rd and 20, mm-hmm. or it could be, I guess, 2nd and 20 or 3rd and 10.
Right.
But it ends up being 2nd and 10 because the Ravens commit a stupid penalty when Mahomes is running out of bounds.
Yes.
The Chiefs then get a first down on the next play. Now they eventually punt the ball. That knocked 3 minutes off of the clock. The Ravens needed that 3 minutes. Who knows what happens if the Ravens have more time to execute that final drive. But you cost yourself the 3 minutes by being silly.
Exactly. And they didn't have timeouts for the game-winning drive. Like, it's just it's crazy when, you know, you're like, okay, well, this is Lamar's moment, but no quarterback will ever tell you, yeah, give me the ball with less than 2 minutes and no timeouts. Like, I have no ability to stop the clock. It just speeds everything up. So they made more of the little mistakes that eventually added up to the game's outcome, even though, you know, Isaiah likely makes a spectacular play. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he's a size or two too big with his shoes. But ultimately, no. I think what my colleague Mike Jones wrote in The Athletic is very poignant in that the score says it's 7 points. The highlights make you believe, oh, man, it's just one big toe between these two teams. When in actuality, if you watch the entire game, there's a pretty clear gap between these two teams. And Mike Jones's point was, and we talked about this after the game, is it could actually grow between now and whenever these teams play again, right? Whether it's the divisional round, the AFC Championship, like there's so many ways for the Chiefs to get better. But what you did notice last night was, man, Lamar had to be superhuman in the second half. And that is not really sustainable for the entire course of a season, because we kind of just watched Patrick go through that. And that was a rough season. So if no one's going to get open other than Isaiah Likely and Zay Flowers, then it's going to be difficult for him to ever feel comfortable or to not feel like he has to put the cape on 24/7. But those two teams are really good, but there's a clear difference between the back-to-back champions and one of the top contenders in the AFC, because last night the Ravens, I just think, didn't handle the moment at times the way I believe they were going to because of the experience they gathered in the AFC Championship game.
Right now, we're joined in studio by our guy, Nate Taylor. He covers the Chiefs for The Athletic. We'll dive into this game more coming up on the other side. I want to get your thoughts on the offense and what we saw yesterday. They haven't had a player like Xavier Worthy in a long time whose speed can just change the game. I want to get your thoughts on that. I don't know if you saw Taylor Swift in person yesterday. That was the best I've ever seen Taylor Swift look yesterday. I mean,
The boots.
They had those rumors about the breakup. She was trying to tell you, no, I'm committed to this relationship. I don't know what she was doing yesterday. We got our guy Nate Taylor here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Let me tell you guys that Nate Taylor's appearances on The Drive is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Call 816-212. You typed this very wrong, Rob, on the paper. I never seen a phone number. It caught me up here. Look at the way he typed this, Nate. Tell me you wouldn't have gotten tripped up, too. Look at that.
I see what he's trying to do.
You got this type like it's somebody's social security number. It threw me off. My bad, Mark. I apologize. Hey, call Mark. Google his phone number. I'm not trying it again. Google the phone number. You can hit up our guy, Mark Ferguson. He can get you right. All right, Nate Taylor is here. Let me throw my first hot take of the season out here. The Chiefs' number one pass catching option is Rashee Rice. True or false? I think it's true.
True for right now. Definitely true for right now. That was very clear last night.
They got a long time to the playoffs. I hear what you're saying. We got a long time until we get there. Yesterday, when they needed a big play,
for sure,
and it was third and five, yes, third and six, and they had to move the chains, the person who was getting the ball, that person was not Travis Kelce yesterday.
And it's crazy, like, they didn't really, I know Justin Reed said this earlier, but, like, they didn't even need Travis Kelce, really. You know, he had a couple plays. He did just fine. He was more open than I think maybe the common fan realizes. When I went back and rewatched the tape, it was like, oh, no, he's open there. It's just Patrick has more options now. It's kind of unusual to see that based on last year. The only reason I would say for now is what happens with Hollywood Brown. You know, he is supposed to be their true number one. It's unfortunate that he got hurt on the opening snap of the preseason. There's a chance he could play a limited role against the Cincinnati Bengals next week that, hey, if he has a good week of practice, you know, maybe we can get him in, get some sort of scouted looks for him, just get him back into the groove of things, but not ask him to be on the field, you know, 60 snaps a game, for that game, I should say. But who knows? Maybe by the middle of the season, it could still be Rashee Rice or – because he's a longer veteran, he is playing on a contract that you would think would lead to good production from him so that he can make, obviously, a bit more money in the open market, you know, next spring. It's supposed to be Hollywood Brown. But for last night, it was definitely clear how much Rashee Rice has improved from year one to year two.
But isn't this a mistake that they made last year? Now, like, they won the Super Bowl, so the mistake can only go so far. But it took them, we can agree, it took them 2 months to realize that their best pass-catching option in that wide receiver room was Rashee Rice. And when they started to highlight Rashee Rice, their offense really started to take shape.
Yep.
We've seen 4 years of Hollywood Brown. Rashee Rice is a better wide receiver than he is.
As of right now, he's a little bit more durable.
The only reason I bring that up is, and I know the injury changes it.
Yes, right.
Hollywood Brown, to me, is not capable of being a 1,200-yard receiver in the NFL. Rice is.
That's probably fair.
Your ceiling for a true, legitimate number one, we've seen enough Hollywood Brown. That's not who he is. I've seen him play with multiple quarterbacks. We did this same thing with other guys. Oh, well, when he comes into the Chiefs system, no, the Chiefs system can get you back to what you are. Juju was a 900 to 1,000-yard guy.
Yep.
He was not turning Juju into a 1,400-yard receiver, but it is normal, and I think this is a lot of the offseason and the car crash and the slapping the photographer allegedly and all this stuff. We didn't spend enough time this offseason talking about how they have one of the three best young first year or second year wide receivers in the National Football League. The only rookie receiver that was better than him last year was Puka Nacua.
Right.
If you're really excited about Jordan Addison or really excited about Zay Flowers, that's who the Chiefs have right now.
Yeah, I do want to give some idea to the fact that, hey, because, you know, Hollywood Brown has a little bit more speed. He's a better route runner right now just because he's been in the league longer. And if he stays healthy, which it's unfortunate, he's already missed a game. There was a possibility that, hey, if everything comes together, and because him and Patrick have known each other for a long time now, hey, maybe this is the year where on a one-year prove-it deal, he gets 1,200 yards, 7-8 touchdowns, and he can, you know, be he can maximize his earning potential as a free agent. Or obviously he could, you know, return with the Chiefs if everything goes well. That is sort of the best case scenario. But yeah, no one has really improved this quickly. And I know this is a bit crazy to say, but no one's improved this fast from opening night as a rookie to where he is now, just one game into his second season. No one's done that since Tyreek Hill. Like, no one's gotten this good this quickly. Not just learning the offense, but understanding space, how to use his body in zone coverage. I mean, he put Roquan Smith in blenders last night in one-on-ones as the slot man. Again, he's not going to give you the same type of highlights, but the ability to catch the ball and maintain speed and know where the openings are for yards after the catch is really impressive. And so he's never going to be Tyreek Hill, but he is the player most since Tyreek Hill where you could clearly say, oh, he looks really good as a rookie. Wow, he looks really good as a second-year player. And wow, he could be one of the best players at his position by year three. That's sort of the trajectory he's on right now. And of course, he's catching Patrick Mahomes at the right time because he's in his prime and he knows how to use his skills to really accentuate all of his talent. Yes, the offseason was chaotic, but as I wrote in The Athletic this past, you know, earlier in this week, Carrington, like, he never missed any part of the offseason program. He was at every practice. He had a great training camp. And now we saw yesterday he's a pretty much a consistent 100-yard receiver if you give him, you know, somewhere between 6 to 9 targets a game because he's running routes alongside Travis Kelce and this freak of a speed threat that is Xavier Worthy. So as of right now, he is their number one receiver, but I do want to give it a month to see how the Chiefs want to use Hollywood Brown and whether Hollywood Brown can sort of take on that responsibility or if it'll be more of the complementary to the consistency that you are getting right now from Rashee Rice.
What was the tone in the press box when Xavier Worthy scored that touchdown? Because I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm watching it by myself, and I said, wow.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, because number one, he is just fast. Like, you see enough NFL players. There's some people that look fast amongst NFL players. He's fast. And then the second thing I'm thinking is, man, they didn't have this club in their bag these couple of years.
Yep.
I love Juju. That's not Juju. We love, you know, Kansas City loves talking about who's going to run that jet sweep and that end around. That's not what Mecole Hardman does at this point in his career. That's not who Kadarius Toney is. That's the most explosive play that we have seen from one of those kinds of receivers since Tyreek Hill got traded to Miami. Mm-hmm. If they're going to run that jet sweep and it really be dangerous, he's the person that could do it. He can make a guy miss, the acceleration, the speed, the getting to the second level. It's been a while since you have said, wow, from one of their wide receivers. And he did that his first time touching the ball in the NFL.
So in the press box, based on the alignment, you're already wondering, okay, they're in the red zone. You know, something fun, creative, a little, maybe some trickeration, some razzle-dazzle could happen, right? They're at the, 21-yard line or so. And so when he comes, when he starts his, you know, reverse end around, you're like, huh, okay, is this just to get the defense to look at him, right? Which is normally the case. Hey, you want a defense thinking sideline to sideline before you obviously hit him with something, you know, misdirection-wise. And then they give him the ball and you go, I mean, yeah, it was almost like gasp in the press. I was like, ooh. Like, it was just like, okay, I don't need to see it any, like, you know, for all the people and the draft, and I get it. Like, there were some analysts, some scouts that were like, look, man, he's never going to be 200 pounds, right? And he is slender frame. And, you know, the NFL's more physical than college. And these guys, these DBs, they got muscles. They will muscle you at the line of scrimmage. None of that matters. None of that matters today because yo, just find ways to give him the ball. And it was a realization from everybody that, like, okay, this is legitimate. Like, they said he ran a 4.2.
He ran a 4.2.
That looked like a 4.2.
He ran a 4.2.
Like, the Ravens kind of knew, okay, they're giving the ball to the fast guy. And they were like, oh, my God, he's fast. So if that's what it looks like on opening night, he can only get better from here. I think that's the other thing, too, that I have to keep in mind is, like, they have so many more routes to show him. He didn't run a single double move last night. He just ran a couple fade routes. Hey, a little couple crossers. Obviously, he has the end-around reverse touchdown. But they didn't do anything, like, sophisticated. They didn't do anything, like, you know, real tricky. It was just, hey, this is just the basics. And he can do that really well on opening night against the Ravens, who have a pretty good secondary. Poor Marlon Humphreys, who must be telling his entire family, I thought I had safety help. I thought I had safety help over the top. Where is he going? Why is he wide open? Nah, man, that speed is real. And I think that's why I love this sport, because we have enough time to really digest things, to really analyze, break it down. And you had a whole, whatever it was, 5 months from the draft to say, well, it's Andy Reid. Trust Andy Reid. And yeah, he's not Tyreek Hill, but all the Chiefs personnel people, including Brett Veach, Matt Nagy, they all say he looks more like DeSean Jackson. And you look up Pro Football Reference and you're like, man, DeSean Jackson has some amazing seasons with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. But again, I understand too that, like, hey man, this ain't the Big 12, okay? It's the NFL. And then all that goes out the window in one game. And you're just like, I love this sport. Cause some things don't need to be analyzed. You can just see it and just be like, oh yeah, that'll work. And you put them next to Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Hollywood Brown's gonna come into the mix. Obviously, Isaiah Pacheco's in the backfield. It's not like you can just double team him all day. And if you do, great. Justin Watson is wide open for 25 yards. That's the most wide open I've ever seen Justin Watson in the Chiefs uniform. I said, look how much field he has. He could have caught the ball, taken a nap, and still got 5 yards on the you know, catch, the run after the catch. So, yeah, man, I won't forget that moment in the press box, because at that point, it's like, oh, okay. They're right. We all know it. It's just a matter of course, professional football is, how consistent can you be? Can you replicate it over and over and over for the course of 17, 18, hell, 20-game season? But, yeah, the dude's legit. We don't need to worry about him anymore. He's legit because he's this good already.
Can he be Minnesota Vikings Percy Harvin? So I looked up the numbers. Percy Harvin, in his time in Minnesota, he played 4 years. He averaged 70 catches for 800 yards, also gave you 26 carries for 180 yards a season. Do you think that's what he can be?
Yeah, he can be that.
He can be that today. If he can be that, this is an overwhelmingly positive move for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Percy Harvin never had a 1,000-yard season, was never a true number one, wasn't any of those things.
Right.
Good, healthy Percy Harvin was a very valuable weapon. And if you were telling me that you've got that player alongside Rashee Rice with this offense, with this play caller, with this quarterback, I'm cool with him being a 800-yard speedster, change the course of the game. You can give it to him on an end-around. I'm perfectly happy if he never turns out to be the 1,000-yard receiver, but he's a really dangerous 800 to 850.
Yeah.
I can also run it really productive player.
Yeah, I think my projection for Worthy this season, and again, this was before last night's game, was, hey, man, just give us the greatest 700-yard season we've seen in a long time. Like, just 700 yards where you could say, hey, remember this play in that game? Just be that guy. Where we're not asking for 100 yards a game. Hell, we're not even asking for like 70, 80. Just give us 700 yards, be on the field. He's never had a durability issue. I think that was something that I had to wrap my mind around, was like, yes, he's skinny. He's strong. And the Chiefs would tell you, like, man, he plays more physical than he looks. And I would go, okay. But then you look at it, he never missed a game in college. So, hey, if you're on the field all 17 games this regular season, Travis Kelce doesn't have to carry the team anymore. Like, I just wonder, and again, we'll talk to Kelce next week, but I just wonder how he feels being like, man, I didn't have to, like, go crazy yesterday. Like, me and Pat did, like, one scramble drill. That was really fun. I was open a couple times in the red zone, and like, he just didn't throw me the ball. That's fine. Like, I'm blocking my butt off, and the guy scores a touchdown on his first touch. So, yeah, he can be Percy Harvin-esque right now because of the creativity within the offensive structure, the fact that you have, you know, Patrick, Andy, Matt Nagy to draw up creative plays. He's going to get jet sweeps. He's going to get bubble screens. He's going to get ways of getting the ball without having to necessarily run a route. But also, he can run right by people. And the biggest thing that you're always concerned about for a rookie early in the league is, hey, does his skills translate and does he feel confident? And then can he build upon that confidence? You can't have a better start. I mean, I'm looking at the box score. He only had 3 touches for 68 yards. I mean, it's nuts. He had the same amount of touches as Travis Kelce yesterday. And both of them impacted the game when they weren't touching the ball. Because Rashee Rice had 7 receptions for 103 yards. Now you're bringing Hollywood into this. I mean, this has the potential to be, as a whole, an offense that is very similar to 2019, in my opinion. The defense is so good for the Chiefs that they don't need Patrick to ever throw for 50 touchdowns. But I think as I'm trying to get used to what I've seen in training camp, the preseason, and even last night, this feels very similar to the 2019 offense. And it's just a matter of, hey, can the offensive line, you know, stay solid because they don't have great depth on the offensive line this season. But the starters are good enough, and you've got skill position talent everywhere. They can just bring in Carson Steele and say, here's 5 yards. Great. 2nd and 5. Now everything's available to us on the playbook. I love the Percy Harvin comparison because I don't care how you get this young man the ball. Just get him the ball 4 or 5 times a game. And if he gives you 700 to 800 yards, it's a successful season for him.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Take us inside the press box for the Isaiah Likely. What we thought originally was a touchdown ended up being reviewed. His foot is clearly on the line. And then the post-game press conference where Lamar says, I still think he's in bounds. And I'm like, has no one showed you the play? You're wrong. Lamar, you played a phenomenal game. This is not some conspiracy from the officials. He's out of bounds.
Right. I mean,
you lost. Good day, sir. You lost.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the moment that my good friend tells me about Lamar's quote, I have to take my glasses off. Cause son, what are we doing? What are we doing? If you haven't seen the clip, which I hope you would after the game when you get in the locker room and on your phone, somebody from the organization's got to tell you, hey, man, before you go talk to people, like, it sucks, but he was out of bounds. I love Lamar Jackson. This is exactly kind of who I want him to be. I just wish he had better skill position talent because the Chiefs secondary kind of exposed that a little bit until the Ravens found out, hey, Nick Bolton can't cover Isaiah Likely. It took us about 3 quarters, but we figured it out. I'm hurt on his behalf because in the press box, we're much further up than anybody else in the stadium, right? We're at the very top. So watching the play live, I'm thinking there's no way. There's physically no way. If he somehow got both his feet in bounds, that is one of the best catches I've ever seen in person. So because we were higher up, and I think NBC shows the higher camera angle, that sort of reveals like, yeah, unfortunately his foot's on the white. I kind of had a very good feeling that he was out of bounds, but the overall thought in the press box was, wow, he caught it. And then holy smokes, the back judge lifted his arms. It's a touchdown. And I think the referees understand in that significance, hey, if it's close, give us a touchdown because it's automatically going to kick into the review. So they went correctly from a procedural standpoint. It builds a ton of drama in the stadium and if you're watching on TV. But I was pretty convinced that he wasn't in bounds based on the way he landed. And then that was confirmed. I just didn't think it was going to be that close. I thought it would be like 1 foot in and like half of the other foot out. It turns out my man needed to be like a size 8, not a size 10 in terms of cleats. But You know the play I want to talk about that hurts me, Carrington.
Let's do it.
That hurts my soul as someone who has really tried to give all the benefit of the doubt to Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, is amazing. Okay. If you felt rushed on first down, all right, either he gets it or nobody gets it. Every coach tells you that, all right? So, hey, you threw it up, a little high for Isaiah Likely. Fine. You almost got him hurt, but whatever. Second down play, I mean, if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, Carrington, we've seen Patrick Mahomes do that 1,000 times. Okay, first read's not there, second read's not there, cool. I'm going to move within the pocket or kind of extend the play. Oh, my God, he's wide open. Boom, touchdown. How in the world did he miss Zay Flowers? How? How? Like, you're the MVP! Like, oh, I just, no one, I don't know how many people are criticizing Lamar for that play instead of talking about, you know, the actual last play, but the penultimate play, like, no, like, this is why people struggle to believe that you are capable of really, really getting over the hump, because you did just about everything right in the fourth quarter, and then you miss a guy who's wide open in the back of the end zone. The one time the Chiefs really gave you a mistake in the red zone. So I just, A, you can't say that if you're Lamar Jackson. I thought he was in bounds. He wasn't. And B, give him a chance. Just loft it up there. He threw it to row 4. Like, what are we doing? So I just, I don't know. And I thought it was interesting that someone in the, I wasn't in the room, but somebody from the reporters in the Ravens press conference asked Lamar, like, hey, are they legitimately your kryptonite? Because you said that to us a couple years ago. You know, no, they're not my kryptonite. They're not my kryptonite. And I was like, well, that sounds like somebody who fully understands that there is kryptonite.
The way that you answered, I didn't even see that. The way that you answered it tells me that Lamar knows that, yes, the Chiefs are his kryptonite. Correct. We gave you guys the stat earlier. The Ravens, they have won 15 of their last 20 games. They have lost 3 games to everybody else. They've lost 2 games to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have only been down 4 times in the last 20 games at halftime. 2 of those games are against the Chiefs. For whatever reason, I guess there's a lot of reasons why, they just cannot beat the Chiefs. I want to mention 2 defensive points to you regarding the Chiefs coming up on the other side. One is good, one is bad. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I have 3 defensive things that I want to talk to you about before our time is up, Nate Taylor. I would say they range from great, good, and bad. Where would you like to start?
I'm an optimist. Let's start with great and get to bad.
For anyone who was questioning why Chris Jones got as much money as he got.
Hell yeah.
All you need to do is watch his snaps. He was the best player on the field. Lamar was great.
Yeah, incredible.
Patrick Mahomes was great. Xavier Worthy, phenomenal. The best and most dominant player on the field yesterday was Chris Jones, and it was not particularly close.
No,
he was unblockable yesterday. Unblockable. That's the great.
Yes, yes. And that's why it was such a saga. You know, his ongoing holdout, you know, the Super Bowl potentially being his last game in a Chiefs uniform, and then, you know, they've cooler heads prevailed. They got the contract right. Yeah, he's the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. And boy, does he deserve it, because Lamar was aware of him at all times. They put him at edge, dominated. They put him with, you know, as I said earlier, I just want people to go back and watch the strip sack fumble. The Ravens are trying to load up to throw the ball deep. And Lamar has no time to do that, because Chris Jones beat 2 other human beings to get to Lamar Jackson so quickly that Lamar can't even load up. He can't even load his arm to get the ball in the air because he gets strip sacked. There were a couple plays in the game, if you watch from like the all 22s, which I have, he just whips guards, man. It's laughable at times what he does. And he creates such constant pressure that their defense will always have a stabilizing sort of presence, right? It should never get too wacky or too crazy just because Chris Jones is always available to put pressure on the quarterback, which inherently gives you an advantage on that side of the ball. So he was, as you were saying, he was crazy. I mean, it was good to see that, hey, after last year and not, you know, being in the suite watching the game, it was interesting to see his impact on the team on opening night compared to him not being there against the Detroit Lions.
Let me get to the bad, because I don't know how much time we're going to have with your answer on the back half of it. Now, I don't want this to be the case.
Uh-huh.
And I said earlier that I was going to be positive today. The Chiefs are 1-0. There's no reason not to be positive.
Sure.
They are not paying Nick Bolton. I always thought there was a chance they could pay Nick Bolton. If you want my two biggest overreactions to week one, they have a new number one pass catching option, and that is Rashee Rice, and the other one. They cannot pay Nick Bolton. He's not even their best linebacker anymore.
Yeah. He was the only player on defense that I could give a negative grade to. And that's how bad he was. Now, he didn't play in the preseason, so I wonder how much that matters, because he had an elbow injury. His body is also starting to have wear and tear, so that may mitigate, you know, a decision as to whether or not you do want to pay him. But Drew Tranquil was great yesterday.
Chenault was fantastic.
They put Leo Chenault as the spy on Lamar Jackson, and it worked over and over and over again. To at least Lamar never had like a 40-yard run because Leo Chenault was like at least limiting him what he could do once he decided to scramble out of the pocket.
Chenault had one series where the reason they forced a punt was because of him. He made yes. two plays. He made a play on second down and third down.
Right. And so I know some people are like, well, why didn't Jaden Hicks play? I wonder if he will get more snaps, more of a you know, role later in the season on, like, you know, dime packages, because the Chiefs have been pretty comfortable, even with Drew Tranquil, to having Nick Bolton be the dime linebacker. But I don't know how much of that is going to be the same when you have Drew Tranquil or someone like Jaden Hicks who can operate the middle of the field if you want him in that particular role. He knew that he was going to have a career year to get top dollar, close to the top of the market for linebacking, that being Nick Bolton. This was not the best start. And so people have asked me ever since the Creed Humphrey deal, would you prioritize, you know, Trey Smith or Nick Bolton? Right now, you have to say Trey Smith just because of him being right now the better player at his position than Nick Bolton has shown, at least last night. And he was hurt half the season last year, which has never been an issue with Trey Smith. Trey Smith has always been durable. He's played every game that's been available for him. So, again, as of right now, it doesn't look promising that the Chiefs will pay Nick Bolton. You know, which means I'll have to go into the draft again, but I can't disagree. As of what we saw last night, he's not their best linebacker, and Leo Chenault outplayed him significantly.
You and I both have similar questions about the cornerback room, at least for game one. The question of who their number two corner is, that question has been answered. There were 80 defensive snaps yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. There are four players that played in all the snaps.
Yep.
Reed, Bolton, Cook, and McDuffie. Jalen Watson played 77 of the 80 snaps.
Yep.
He's their number two corner. Their third corner, Joshua Williams, he played in 40% of the snaps, played in 32 snaps. We know who their number two corner is. It's Jalen Watson. He made one of the most important defensive plays in the game, where he's running stride for stride with Zay Flowers and had an incredible pass breakup that helped get the Chiefs the ball back there. If we spent a lot of time talking about some of the position battles. They have all cleared themselves up now. We know who their left tackle is. Their wide receiver room cleared itself up. And now, after seeing them for one game, we know who their number two corner is. It's Jalen Watson.
Yeah, and this helps someone like Chamari Connor to where, hey, he can be the big nickel if you want him to be on the field in sort of five D-back sets. It allows, you know, Trent McDuffie to primarily stay on the outside. He had some really good snaps in the slot too. But this now allows the Chiefs to not really have as big of a weakness as we thought. I thought, hey, if there's one thing the Ravens can sort of pick at over and over and over again in this game, it might be that second cornerback position. Jalen Watson stood up, and he played really well considering how poorly he did in the preseason finale because he was coming back from a shoulder injury. So, hey, this is how they've determined it so far. Joshua Williams will get some snaps in a certain, you know, rotational role. But you're right. I mean, Leo Chenal and Jalen Watson had two of the best games on defense from players that you weren't necessarily sure how their roles were going to work out or how productive they were going to be. And so, again, instead of cornerback two being the biggest hole on the field last night, it was kind of middle linebacker. But, hey, it's just one game. We'll see how Nick Bolton potentially improves over the next month or so, because I always tell players, like, you always tell fans, I should say, you should give players about a month to really assess them because it's a new season, and obviously you're being thrown a lot of different things. And, look, your role might change, even though Nick Bolton's role is much of the same. But, yeah, credit to Jalen Watson because I wasn't expecting that type of performance. But also the task gets much harder next week, right? This isn't Nelson Aguilar coming down. It's T. Higgins. It's we think Ja'Marr Chase. And obviously, you know, that's a nice 1-2 punch that is a lot better than what Baltimore showed last night.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for The Athletic. He joins us every Friday at 4 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, the Chiefs, they are 1-0. The Royals would be in the playoffs if they started today. All three local college football teams are undefeated. Positivity abound here on The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Norse taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Norse.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.